Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Woo, 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 woo.
Yes.
We're back once again with Pastor Paul. Panta him. Yeah. He's our senior pastor, and we're... If you're listening to this one for the first time, I'd recommend just going back to the last week's episode because we're going to be continuing on with our conversation with him. So to start off with this, actually we only have one last question for you, and it's to do with the Australian census. So according to that census, since 2011, the numbers of people that are identifying as Christian have been steadily decreasing. And I just wanted to ask, like, what should we do as Christians in response to that, and also an explanation as to why that's happening?
Well, thank you for inviting me again to share in this questionnaire. And, you know, I lean totally on the Holy Spirit to enlighten me, to contribute and answer in part, because we all know in part. I don't have a final authoritative answer for it entirely.
Yeah.
But this I can say with full authority. Mm. Anybody that's been born again and knows intimately Jesus never falls away.
Amen.
A census is a questionnaire. My grandmother used to say, I was born a Christian. Mm. I was born in a Christian country, so I'm a Christian. Mm. I was christened as a Catholic. I was christened as a Church of England, Anglican. I was christened as a Baptist. I was christened as a Presbyterian. I'm christened, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So there is my response to an Australian statistic report. Mm. The question is, are you Christian? Yes, I was born a Christian. I was born in a Christian country. What denomination are you? Well, I was christened as a Catholic, so I write Catholic. I write... Mm. Okay. And so people are living much longer than ever before. Mm. And so when they're children, they believe what they believe until they get to school. And then the religion of the nation is amplified through the tutorials that they receive by the education department. Mm-hmm. The education department more and more over the years has been leaning to socialism. Okay, as a result of it leaning to that thought pattern, you then start having that a 7-year-old's opinion is equivalent to a 70-year-old's, and each as an individual has a right to express their opinion. So therefore, there's a drop in respect and honor. Okay, so piece by piece, decade after decade, there's been an eroding and there's been a challenging of why would you call yourself a Christian when you don't look like one, sound like one, smell like one. In fact, you're a counterfeit. You are a goat trying to be a sheep. Okay? So a lot of the elderly people never were born again, never did have a relationship with Jesus, and now they're no longer trying to hide the fact, I have got no faith. That's that lot. Okay? Who's going to be the voice to this generation? So that generation, whoever was the voice of that generation, failed. What about this one? So we've got, you know, charismatic Pentecostal churches. Most of the churches have upbeat music and much better presentation with music and that, and people find themselves there. Even drunks find themselves happy in there. You know, like they can tap and yell and shout and lift their hands and do all sorts of stuff. In fact, they learn the language. They learn a Christian language so they can sound like one. They can be jumping around, hold their hands up, and they can do all this stuff, go to cell meetings and all of that, right? But they're not born again. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They haven't fallen in love with him. They haven't been delivered by him. You're right. And so as soon as pressure comes, as soon as persecution comes for the word's sake, they fall away. So what haven't they? The power of God's love is, how do you describe it? It's transformational. To be touched by his love, you're drawn into relationship. And the more that you seek, you see, he seeks after those that are lost, but I need to reciprocate. I need to seek him also.
That's right.
It's when I start to seek him out that he's already seeking me. Mm. We collide. And the love experience is undeniable. Mm. The love for your Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, causes you to go through the seasons, right? In season and out of season. When things are going good and when things are going bad. The thing that never changes is God's love towards you and his availability. Mm. Then you got the next type, right? They got born again. Mm. So they have some sort of relationship with Jesus. And then they are focused on self.
Mm.
Whereas the instruction through relationship in Christ and his word is deny yourself.
Mm.
Pick up the cross. That's the vision of Christ.
Yeah.
And follow him. That means live his lifestyle.
Mm.
It's not you putting him on the back of you as a convenience. So the only time that you want God is when you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that type of relationship is shallow, and in the Bible calls it carnal.
Mm.
In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6 says, the carnal mind is death.
Mm.
And a carnal mind is literally at war with God.
Yeah.
So they get to the point where they start believing the adversary, saying that God doesn't love you. You never get any of your prayers answered. Mm. This is a complete waste of time. And apart from that, why should I not live with a person, and why do I have to get married, and I don't believe this, and I don't. And so piece by piece, their carnality, the old man, is resurrected.
Mm.
So regardless of the fact that they've given their heart to Christ, they got born again, and Christ is resident in them, their carnal mind has the last say.
Mm.
And so when that happens, their conscience is seared.
Mm.
Okay? How do I make the changes that are necessary to stay in relationship with Jesus Christ? Mm. The conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes through the Word. Okay? I need to be under the Word to hear the instruction of the Holy Spirit and to receive the challenges.
Yeah.
So basically, those that have fallen away, okay, they're what the Bible calls backslidden.
Mm.
Some of them never were saved.
Mm.
Okay. I had an experience early on in my Christian life when I was in the world. Part of what I would do was I was a thief, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on this particular occasion, I'm not proud of that, and I repented from that. And I'll explain to you quickly that I stole some building equipment from a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know this person. I didn't know what the consequences in his life would be for me stealing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I know I stole that stuff before I got saved. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit brought to my attention what I stole.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying to me, take it back. And seven times as much. And ask the person to forgive you.
Mm.
Oh.
Wow.
That was nearly 10 years ago. Oh, how do I find this person? Mm. Where would they be now? And I had all these questions. And I used all that stuff as an excuse.
Mm.
Okay? In any case, there was no excusing it. Mm-hmm. I had to do this. I had to make restitution.
Yeah.
That's a biblical principle. See, a lot of people don't come into the flow of abundant living because they've got unresolved issues in their heart, and they could have forgotten about that offense, but that person is living with the injury, the consequences that you inflicted on them.
Yeah.
So they hate your guts and they are constantly cursing you.
Mm.
So you've got an active curse aligned against you because of something you did. And when the Holy Spirit brings that back to you, it could have been you took somebody's virginity.
Mm.
It could be that you put down on somebody so bad that you smashed their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you betrayed them and caused them all innumerable amount of harm. And then when you come unto the Word of God, you get quickened and convicted by the Spirit of God that you need to go and make restitution. Mm-hmm. You need to ask them to forgive you for being a monster. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? And without excuse. And whatever the consequence then is to you. You know, so I went to where I had stolen his stuff and I knocked on the door and the person doesn't know me. And so I'm standing at the door. They open the door. And who are you? And what do you want? I said, well, I've become a Christian. I just got born again. And 10 years ago, there was building equipment out the back on his trailer that was all loaded up, and I unhitched it and I pushed it down the street and then drove it away. I'm here to ask for forgiveness for stealing it, to replace what I stole and seven times as much, and to make amends. And for whatever consequences to me now, I'm trusting God with him. And they said, he doesn't live here. I died a million times, you know. I died. And they said, but we know he's got family members at the end of the street. If you go on, ask them, they'll probably give you his phone number. And I've got the devil in my ears saying they're going to barbecue you for sure on a slow grill. You know? So I go to that place and I knock on the door. They don't know me either. So they say, who are you and what do you want? I've just been born again. I'm a Christian. And 10 years ago, I stole some building equipment and I've come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I have to replace it and seven times as much. And I'm asking for forgiveness. The lady up the road said that you related to them. Could you please give me either his phone number or his address? And they said, no. If you have done this to him and you caused all the trouble that happened to him, we wouldn't give you his address and we wouldn't give you his phone number. We'll contact him and say there's a thief here that wants to set things straight. We don't believe you could ever set right what's happened to that man's life. Oh, man, I felt, this big. I felt, oh, terrible. Well, so I should. Genuine godly repentance opens up cleansing and the joy of being in right order with God. So they said, what's your phone number and where do you live? So shaking like a leaf, I gave them my phone number and my address. Right? Did the guy ring me back in 5 minutes? No. Almost a fortnight. And I died a million, trillion times through that period, wondering what was going to happen. And as it turned out, he rang. Well, the guy in the house, he rang. Not the fellow that I stole from, but he rang. And he gave me the address and a time. So I turned up with this big truck loaded with all the gear and a whole heap of brand new equipment and all this stuff. That was seven times as much. You know what I mean? The deed of seven times as much wasn't where forgiveness would come. That is a bona fide of the sincerity, the integrity of the act of asking for forgiveness to make restitution. You're right? He's cursing me. I need him to forgive me and cut the curse off. All right, so this is love in action. This is what separates real Christians from goats. And there's a lot of goats and they're always noisy. Right? John the Baptist says, bring forth proof that demonstrates that you've changed your life. These people that fall away, They don't demonstrate a changed life. Mm. You can't hide being a Christian if you live like Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so I turned up at that time and I had every devil screaming at me, well, he's going to have at least 50 fellas there and they're going to have sledgehammers, they're going to have picks, you're going to run a gauntlet, and then whatever's left of you, then they're going to drag you to the police station and charge you and you'll end up in prison. And I'm faced with this and the reality of it, and the fear was at me every which way. Mm. And even in amongst all of that atmosphere of voice, okay, I said, Jesus, I'm only here because I trust you.
Mm.
And I don't understand what's happening. And I don't know why or what consequences that I've started by all this, but I trust you.
Mm.
So if I end up dead, if I end up in prison,
mm.
well, I trust you.
Mm.
So I went up the stairs.
Mm.
The doors opened.
Mm. Oh,
worst fears, you know, the doors open, you know, the doors open. I walk, and it was a long hall.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And so I've got all this equipment.
Mm.
You know, new tools and stuff that I bought up as sort of like a sample. It was just like Jacob when he had to face Esau.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he set a caravan of good stuff and then good stuff and then good stuff, and then eventually had to face him face to face, but not until he'd had an encounter with God. What I'm trying to say to you is God is real.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's real in your life, there's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
Where's there to go?
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. There's nobody better than him.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so I'm there. And I had the sense, put all the stuff down. So I put all the stuff down and I knocked gingerly on the door, very lightly. And I hear this voice way off, come in. Now, what am I walking into? Like, I've gone down hallways like that before I got saved, and at the end of it was a Bowie knife and a shotgun aimed at me with the intent to kill me.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm thinking, oh, anything can happen here. So I'm just trusting God. And I start walking down there. And I turn the corner and I see this old, frail man. And he says, you're a low-down, good-for-nothing thief. And you say you found God. And he convicted you to bring this back here now, all this stuff, and ask me to forgive you. Well, I was a Christian for 20 years and I come to the conclusion there is no God. But because you have the audacity and the gumption, the balls to front up here after 10 years with all that I've gone through as a result of what you did that day, you must have met God. So I want to hear what happened, how did it happen, and what power is on you to face up to me now. Yeah. But before, I want to tell you what happened. That theft was the last straw that broke my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife packed up and left me as being a loser.
Mm.
Absolute loser. And she said to me, where is your God that he would leave you in this mess? And then his sons went and got caught up in drugs and they were in a mess. He had no way to continue paying his house, so he had to sell the thing. That's why he moved from there, right? Yeah. And he just shared this story. He said, you did that. You did that. You cost me my marriage. You cost me my boys. You cost me. And you say you found God, I want to hear about it.
Mm.
And I started to share with him the love of God. That love that found me and loved on me. Man, I was a monster. But he loved on me. He melted my heart. He sent wave after wave after wave of unconditional love into my heart.
Mm.
And he started dealing with my low self-esteem and how small I felt in my own eyes and how that I needed to be a monster to protect myself against being hurt anymore.
Mm.
I couldn't trust my heart with other people because they are always taking, stealing, robbing. Do you follow? And then the very thing that I despised in people, I became myself. Mm. But here Jesus picked me up and he said to me, I understand you, Paul. No one ever understood me. Mm. I had no way to defend myself against it. And he said, I never made you to fit in. I made you to stand out. Wow. You are my catalyst. That's why people can't receive you. Mm. But that's how I made you. Not with all of this horrific, horrendous, horrible sin that you're involved with, but the vessel that I've ordained to achieve my work, that I've called into ministry to be a vessel of faith and love and to teach my people how to give by example. By example. Okay. So I was sharing this with him and tears started streaming down his eyes. And he said, I forgive you. He said, will you introduce me to Jesus? Wow. Wow. And he got born again. His kids come back off, got off the drugs. They come back home. His life started to turn around. He had a life expectancy of 12 months. He had some sort of blood disease or something. Jesus healed him. And he lived way beyond all of that.
Praise God.
And here was a thief, right? And the person who was sinned against, hugging in an embrace of love in the presence of Almighty God and all the angels' works, were ecstatic.
Wow.
How can you turn your back on Jesus when you see him in operation with other people, when you remember how beautiful the feet of those who brought you the good news, you tell me you fall away? No, you don't fall away. You see, you choose your lifestyle. Mm. Jesus gave me my life. I gave it back to him. Mm. I have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, I've decided to follow Jesus. It takes guts to be a Christian. It doesn't take any guts at all to fall away and to complain about how useless Christianity is. Mm. And as far as the statistics on a survey are concerned, those people answer the questions that they've been trained in the way to answer it. Mm. And now a certain level of transparency and honesty is coming to them. They can't say that they are a Christian. They are no more a Christian as go fly in the air. Mm. And so that's it. And backsliders, they need to repent. If you're a backslider, repent. There is no other way. Christ is the way, and he won't let you down. And you may have been, you know, involved with being hurt by leadership, hurt by pastors, people talking about you, etc. Listen, they do not represent Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Jesus never changes and he loves you and he'll tell you the truth. Don't let some leader, whether they're a deacon or whoever or whatever, cause you to end up in hell because you can't forgive them. There is no unforgiveness in hell. None. Forgive them, be forgiven. If you're unforgiven, you only have to read the Lord's Prayer twice, he says to you. Forgive, release them so you can be forgiven and released. And then find out where God wants you to go to church, not where it's convenient, not where the hip police people are, or, you know, like there are a lot of young people there or stuff. Forget about it. Find out where God wants you to go and go there.
Yes, so as the church, as believers, how should we respond to those people who have been turning away from Christ, the backsliders, the people who have gotten cold feet, who have been offended? They've decided, you know what, this is not for me. I don't want any part of it. What is our response as a church for them? What should we do for them?
Well, if you don't have compassion, you won't ever see them come back. Hmm. And you can't decide, well, I'm going to go and get all the backsliders. Right? You have to wait and on Christ and find out if he wants you to do that. Mm. And then if he wants you to do it, how?
Yeah.
But it will involve intercessory prayer to the point where you are laboring in travail to bring them out of the prison they're in. One Timothy 2:26, right? That you walk alongside of them with patience,
Amen.
Teaching them,
good.
Admonishing them, but more importantly, live it out. Mm. Deny yourself and love your brother. You see, there's so many phony people out there and more, you know, Jesus went off the biggest against hypocrites. Mm. I mean, he spared nothing. He ripped them up the side and hit them on the head.
Yeah.
Right? Hypocrites. And hypocrites in the church are everywhere. And the mistake that people make is that the person sitting next to you is, you know, related to Gabriel. And, but unfortunately, the person sitting next to you could be related to Lucifer. Mm. You're right. And praise God. I remember, again, an example. We had a really bad session of health, and I wasn't able to work for quite a while. And so one of the church deacons took it upon himself to, you know, come down with a blessing of finance to try to help out. And on this particular day, we had promised before I'd got ill to give my daughter a sixth birthday party. And my wife said, well, how can we break our word to her? We'd break her heart. You'd like, you can't do that. And we had, what little money we had, we didn't have enough to pay any of the bills or do any of that with. We didn't have it. So we took the little that we had and went out and bought balloons and streamers and party hats and stuff to make it. And she invited her little friends over and we set it up. Helen did all of the decorations and thing around to make it because there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was Mother Hubbard's bare cupboard. And so that's where we were at. And this deacon turned up right then. And he's got the envelope in his hand. He looks at me. He looks at the balloons and the streamers and the kids and the party and he gives me a frown. He judged me. He sentenced me. He turned around and he left. That was it. Wow. And then the people next door, they were elders from the same church. Mm. Elders. And so they got together all their outdated foods, stuff, tins and tea and coffee and soup, vegetables and all this stuff, out of date. And they come over and give that to us. Pretty much straight after that episode with the deacon. So here is a deacon and then two elders that absolutely shamed us. And we're trying to keep it together so the kids can have their party. Mm. But man, that just shattered us. Now, if we had a thought that those people that end all of the of Jesus Christ, we would have not ever gone back either. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, they're the ones that have to give answer for that behavior that misrepresented Christ.
Yeah.
You're right. And I don't know that anybody is void of that sin.
Yeah.
That always, somewhere down the track, we do something that's dishonoring to Christ.
Yeah.
The thing is to take responsibility for it. Don't shuck it off. Don't try to deviate from it. Come into the correction that's required.
Yeah.
You're right? And this is, but these things build relationship with God. Don't you know that the Father is tickled pink when we do what he's asking us to do?
Yeah.
You're right? So we forgave those people. And then when I wasn't sick for long, and when God healed me and then blessed me, and he gave me 12 months' salary in 1 month. Right, I had a huge pile of cash on the table. And out of that pile of cash, I took a big wad that was at least 100 times more than what that man had given me over that time. I went round to his place and knocked on the door. And I said, God bless you, brother. I said, I'm here to return the favor that you did for the Lord in helping us. And I said, he has totally healed me and I'm back in business and I'm profiting. And so, thank you, right? and that fella changed colours like a rainbow, and his mouth was on the thing because he's got this big wad of thing. He's given me tips. And God just went back there with a level of abundance. You see, sometimes how you correct error is abundance. Because stinginess in the face of love and generosity is powerful. And what God does with them, that's their business. Do you understand what I mean? But the thing is, I never allowed that person to colour my attitude towards other leadership. You follow? Yeah. Because my Lord is Jesus.
Yeah.
And if somebody's having a bad day, bad hair day, or they've just got off the phone with some obnoxious person calling them for everything, okay, and then they're not, they haven't got through and they're faced with me with my feelings hanging out everywhere, and so they're short with me and I get offended, so that's my excuse for leaving the church? No, I won't wash. You're a backslider. You need to repent in Jesus' name. Got no time for them. You understand? Not for, not living in an excuse. And if they want to point the finger, they better read Isaiah chapter 59 first. God help you if you start pointing the finger against Christ's body. Because like Saul of Tarsus, you'll find yourself in line for a visitation you don't want to know about, you can't get prepared for, and it'll scare the hell out of you. And that's not a bad thing to happen.
Well, we've run out of time for this episode, but that was really good. So do you have any final thoughts before we pray?
Live right to die right.
Amen.
Amen. Live right to die right. So, yeah, Pastor Paul, could you pray for the people that are listening?
And certainly. I pray a fire under those backslidden would-bes if they could be. Come alive in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, you heal their hearts where they've been traumatized by whatever reason that caused them to turn tail and run. Father, I pray that the cowardice like John Mark be taken out of them, and that you, through your love and power, transform them into the epistle writing or the gospel writer Mark, who was a blessing to Paul in his old age. I thank you, Father, that nobody is useless and worthless, that you see them, you know what potential's in them. I pray you bring it out. But Father, get rid of the cowardice in them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Paul.
You're welcome.
And thank you guys for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.
God bless you, and live right to die right. Amen.
Cool. Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.